going live. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Sam Hunter, and I am so glad you've joined us today. It's Friday. The weekend's here. Slow down for a minute, will you, and spend the next 30 minutes with me, and we'll just get closer to our Heavenly Father. We'll listen for what He would say to our hearts. May I suggest that as we start this new year, we all try to dial it back just a bit. Instead of getting caught up in all the craziness of this world and the busyness and getting turned around and, you know, Satan, and I don't know how much you dial into Satan, but I'll tell you, Jesus talked about him a lot, and as if a very real person. He would love and thrives on us getting distracted and then discouraged because we're not getting done the things we really want to get done. He loves that. He loves to see us turned around and upside down. Just slow up a little bit. And think about how blessed you really are, because you are. You really are, no matter where you are. And I know you may be in a difficult situation right now, and you may be afraid. You may be worried. You may say, Sam, this is real stuff. This isn't just possible problems. I'm in real trouble. I'm having financial problems. My marriage is crumbling. Things aren't right. I know that. And I know that. And believe me, I've lived through those times. And what I have found is the more I take my focus off of those difficulties, off of those circumstances, because honestly, as bad as they might be, they are circumstances, and they are, and they will go away. And if I take my focus off of those and put them on our Heavenly Father, on my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, the less extreme those problems seem. I really mean it. Gratitude, keeping my focus on God and Jesus and what they have done for me and what they've done in me. You know, just in the last few weeks, I've just been really convicted in my heart that God didn't just save me from my sins and myself. He saved my daughter. And He saved a lot of people around me from the old Sam that used to have his priorities in the wrong place. I am so grateful for what He's done. And I believe if you'll focus on your gratitude for what He's done in your heart and for you, that you'll be able to find that peace and that joy. Gratitude is really the lubricant. It is the answer. It is what makes life. It draws us into that abundant life. Today we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. A great topic. But first, let me thank our sponsors for today's show, IT Pros. Any of you ever have any computer problems at your business? Well, that's a dumb question, Sam, if there ever was one. And I know every business faces the challenges of modern technology, and we all need to get the most out of our computer systems and our interoffice networking. My friends at IT Pros, Gayton Heeman and his group, they are terrific at this. They're good friends. They're supporters of 721 Ministries, but they understand technology. They understand the risk and the problems that come along with it and trying to run your business with technology back and forth. They are true pros with years of experience. I have found them to be men of integrity, and I mean, they know what they're doing. They can fix it. They will spend all the time that it takes, but they work efficiently and effectively. There's no problem they can't solve, and solve quickly. Call Gayton Heeman at IT Pros at 864-706-4568. Gayton Heeman at IT Pros, 864-706-4568. You can find them on our website under our radio archives page. And also want to thank Spartan Business Systems, office equipment, copiers, faxers, whatever you need. And we'll talk more about these friends later. Feel free to call us at 888-660-WLFJ. That's 888-660-9535. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Our website is www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721. www.721ministries.org. And our name, 721 Ministries, comes from Matthew 7:21, 22, and 23, where Jesus says, guys, it isn't about your list of things that you do, all your activities, Christian or just good stuff in the community. It's whether we know each other. If we don't know each other, none of that matters. Oh, yeah, I'd rather you do it than not do it, but it makes no difference when it comes to eternity and where you'll spend eternity. It's whether we know each other or not. Okay, it's mid-January. Did any of you make New Year's resolutions? Well, how's that going? You know, we all know that most resolutions fail within a few weeks, if not a few days. But we make these resolutions, and I wonder what you made this year. And I've been doing some reading and looking at some articles, and I've come up with a top 10 for New Year's resolutions. Now just think for a minute, what are the resolutions that people make? I mean, what comes to mind almost immediately? Lose weight. That's number one. Pay down debt. Number two, quit smoking. Number three, exercise more. More time with the family. Save. Save for retirement. Get organized. Learn something new. And number 10, help others. Now, that's finally we have one that thinks about other people, but I want you to think about this list, and these are all good things, of course, and it's year in and year out, it's a constant. Lose weight, pay down debts, quit smoking, exercise more, more time with the family, save more, get organized. That's one of my new ones, is get organized. But I want you to think about this list and what they all have in common, and hold that thought for just a minute, because I would ask you this. Did you make any spiritual New Year's resolutions? Now, what are the kind of spiritual New Year's resolutions that we might be apt to make? Yeah, think about that for a minute. I think most people would come back and say, well, I'm going to read the Bible more. That's a big one. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to try to go to that Bible study I've been meaning to go to each week. I'm going to try to do better on that. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to give more money this year. Those are all great things, but I want you to think about what they have in common with the top 10 resolutions list. And I'll tell you what they have in common. They're all about doing. They're all about things that you're going to do to change. That top 10 New Year's resolutions that everybody comes up with, one or two of them every year, it's about doing change. The spiritual resolutions are about doing change. Now, those are good things, and we need that aspect of it, doing. But I want you to understand, that's getting the cart before the horse. We all know that diets don't work. Pure diets don't work. What works is a change in attitude about your lifestyle, about your eating, about your exercising. If you're going to quit smoking, you may can grit your teeth and work your way through it. But in all likelihood, you need to come to that time in your life where you just say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. Exercise. Oh, I'm going to exercise more this year. You get out there and you work out for about a week and it gets, if something comes up and now you can't do it. And the next thing you know, you join a gym and you go two or three times and then something comes up that Monday or that Tuesday. And next thing you know, you're in the middle of January, you're at the end of January, and it's all gone because you didn't really change your attitude about it. You just decided you were going to do better. The same with spiritual resolutions. I'm going to read the Bible more. And so you make a plan. But it's not a heart change. It's a discipline. And yes, disciplines are good, but it's not a heart change. It's doing more to change. It's doing things to get better at it. When where I would encourage you is to recognize, I need God's help with this. I need God's help. See, the more self-disciplined you are and the more ability you have, the more you're likely to rely on your own ability. And I read this quote, our real disability is our ability. In other words, our strengths are about an inch away from being our weaknesses. What we think we are good at, we're going to rely on, and we're going to work on that. Instead of asking God to come into the situation and to help us and to change our hearts. Resolutions. I'm going to do. I'll grit my teeth and I'll do better. I will do better this year. And how long will that last? Hey, we got a caller coming in. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Sam. Hey, I'm listening to the show, and it seems like you're saying that making resolutions, setting goals, planning out things we want to change, areas we want to improve on, that these aren't good things.
Hmm.
Even resolving to pray more or read the Bible more. How could those not be good things to do?
That's a great question, Jimmy. Let me ask you, did you make any New Year's resolutions?
I did.
Well, what, give me one of them.
If you took your list except for smoking, that pretty much nails me.
And how are you doing on it so far?
Not as good as I want to.
Yeah.
But always room for improvement.
Well, thank you for your question. And it really, I'm glad you called in with that question because that's important to make sure that I differentiate between that. Those things are good, and deciding and determining that you are going to do those things, that is a good thing. The problem is that most of us do that first without actually going for that heart change. And so what I'm talking about today is asking God to help you change the way your heart is about these things. It's just like going on a diet or just like exercising more. If it's just strictly discipline, you're likely to fail. But if your heart changes about it, your attitude changes. So what I want to promote today is that we actually stop first and say, Lord, I want to change. I want to pray more. I want to read the Bible more. I want to lose weight. Will you help me as I do my part. So, Jimmy, it's both working together. It's asking God to help first. I need your power. And then you doing your part. Does that make sense?
100%.
Thanks for calling in, Jimmy.
Have a good
day. All right, you too. Hey, to ask God to move in you is not a cop-out. You have your part to play in it. You make those lists. You make those goals that you're going to set. But understand that what you really want is to bring God and His power and His Holy Spirit, which is inside you if you're in a relationship with Him. If you're saved, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to help you with these things. So start by asking your Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray more, but I don't want to pray more because I want to make a list to pray more. I want to pray more because I want to talk to you more. I want to pray more. Will you help me? A few years ago, I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and the topic came up, what does it mean to love God? And as I listened to people say, well, I think it means you go to church when you don't really feel like it. You read the Bible and you don't really feel like it. I thought, well, those are all good, but that's not really what it's about. And I realized I didn't love God. Now, I had been saved for about 6 years. I was afraid of God. I wanted to please Him. I sure didn't want to get on His bad side, but I didn't love Him. I didn't love Him. And I came to that heart-wrenching realization, and I thought, what am I going to do about this? How do I learn to love something I can't touch or feel or talk to directly? And I realized, I got to ask Him. So I started asking my Heavenly Father, will You help me to love You? And in many of my prayers today, I'll say, I love You, Father. I don't love You enough. Help me to love You more. So I started asking Him, would You help me to love You? And I got to tell you, today I do love my Heavenly Father, and I do love Jesus, and I really do. And He changed my heart. I couldn't grit my teeth through that. I couldn't make a list of things to do. I would ask you to think about bringing Him in, and with a desire, and all of this is fueled by a desire to know your Heavenly Father and to know Jesus better. To get to know them, to want to read the scriptures so that you are getting more in tune with what they talked about, where their heart is, so that you'll know what's going on with them. I remember when I was saved, I realized that Jesus had to be the Son of God, and I needed to know if He is the Son of God. I needed to know what He said, so I started devouring the New Testament and the Gospels and all the red ink so I could understand exactly what this man, the Son of God, said. How could we, as thinking adults, not want to be sure that we know what Jesus has to say to us? And then go to the next step and know what God has to say to us throughout Scripture. But I tell you, I am really motivated to read the Scripture in the mornings and to pray so I can get to know Him better. And so I encourage you. You know, I used to, there have been plenty of times in my life where I would make this comment. You know, I used to think, oh, Joe was a jerk. But I got to know Him, and I realized He was really a good guy. He had a good heart. Getting to know people, getting to know your Heavenly Father is the first step towards that real spiritual resolution. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to 721 Live. We're back. You're with 721 Live. It's the second half of our show. Before we get started, let me thank our other sponsor, Spartan Business Systems. My friends at Spartan Business Systems carry Toshiba and Lexmark copiers, printers, fax machines, and multifunction systems. They can do it all, and they range in price from $350 to over $30,000. So their line of products covers a full spectrum of any needs you may have, and they provide great solutions to all those problems of paper workflow and document management problems we all have, and they save you money in the process. Bill Schism and his partner, Dennis Kimbrell, both Christians, began in 1992 with the philosophy that if you treat people right, give them good products at a fair price, and make sure they get good service, the business will prosper. And Spartan Business Systems has grown steadily over the years. These guys do a great job. They service my copier, which is a dynamite copier. I mean, one that does everything you could ask it to do but drive the car for you. And they gave that copier to me before I even knew them. That's where their heart is for ministry. Spartan Business Systems, 184 Bryant Road, Spartanburg, South Carolina, www.spartancopy.com. Or 585-1013, 585-1013, 888-593-1300, We're at the second half of our show, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions. And you can feel free to call in with any questions or comments at 888-660-WLFJ. That's 888-660-9535. We were talking about making resolutions with just the idea of it being something that you're going to do, that you're going to get better at. And I've been encouraging you to say, no, what I really want is, Father, I need your help along with what I'm going to do. Because I don't want to just change. And I want you to hear this. I don't want to just change. I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed. I don't, from the inside out, I want to read the scriptures more and pray more and get to know you better, because I want to get to know you better because my heart has changed. I'll tell you something that I do at the beginning of each year is I look at the fruits of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:22-23, and I'll tell you what I do. I go down the list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now those are issues of the heart. You can't grit your teeth and get better at any of those, but if we are following Christ, God says you will see these fruits in your own life, in your own heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so what I try to do each year is grade myself. And I would encourage you to do that. Take them and write them down on an index card and give yourself an A, B, C, D, F grade. How are you doing on it? And then each year you can look and just grade yourself again and see how God has moved. And when you look at this and you go, you know, I really need help in a few of these areas, you can ask God to move in your heart, just like I asked him to help me love him at the very top of the list, love. Now, if you look at this list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, how do you think most people grade themselves, or where do they grade themselves the lowest? Well, every time it's patience and self-control. So, what do you say? You say, I'm going to be more patient, darn it. And it doesn't work. Or you say, I'm going to have more self-control. And if you just grit your teeth and try, you'll do a little better, maybe. But you really won't have the heart change, the transformation, until your Heavenly Father moves into your life. And what most people do is they look at this list and they say, okay, I grade myself a D in this place, in peace, or I grade myself a D in gentleness, and so I'm going to work on that. And that is not the way these fruits of the Spirit really work. I believe, I'm convinced that our Heavenly Father had Paul write those in the order, specifically in that order, for this reason. They work on each other. You have to start at the top. You can't pull one out and start working on it. You've got to start with love. You've got to ask your Heavenly Father to help you love Him. And as you love Him, your heart starts to soften and you love your neighbor, the top two commandments. Love your Father and love your neighbor. And as you start to love, then you're going to have joy. Now, let me just ask you to pull back and say, I've got love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to start with peace. Well, forget it if you don't have joy in your life. Remember, joy is that sense that everything's going to be okay, that life is okay, that God is in control, that He loves me perfectly. So you start with love, and with love you start to have joy. Without joy, no peace. But now that you've got joy in your heart, you can start to have more peace. With peace, you can have patience. No peace in your heart, forget patience. Kindness follows right with the joy, peace, and patience. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gentleness, if you don't have love in your heart and joy in your heart and peace in your heart and patience, forget gentleness. And then self-control. What a gift those are to us if we will turn to our Heavenly Father and say, will you help us? Will you help me with this? So I encourage you to do that. Take those fruits of the Spirit. Now, I had an email come in, and a gentleman said, well, can a man... in the business world, or in the sports world, or any place that has competition going on, and this would hold true for women too, but the question was, can a man express these fruits and still expect to be successful in this world? Or do we have to compromise success? Do we have to forget success if we're going to have these fruits of the Spirit? And I thought it was a great question. And let me say right off the bat, let me give you an example from sports. Tony Dungy, coach of the Super Bowl champions last year. Great athlete in his own right. He didn't compromise success, and the world's success. He didn't compromise that. He didn't forget that. He is successful, and he has these fruits of the Spirit. Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A, wildly successful, wealthy beyond anybody's imagination. He didn't compromise those fruits of the Spirit, and he's successful. No, you do not have to throw away success in this world, but the truth is you won't care about it as much. But let me be clear that I'm sure I make this clear. You do not have to compromise competitiveness in the workplace or in sports, being prudent in what you do, being a hard driver, wanting to be your best, wanting to succeed, liking success. None of that has to go away when you become a Christian and you start following Christ and you seek these fruits of the Spirit in your heart. They don't go away. They don't have to. They just lose their domination over you. You start to see that's not what really drives me, but it doesn't mean that you lose that desire. So many men I know are afraid of really selling out to Christ because they think they'll have to stop caring about being successful in their work, or they'll have to stop caring about money. Or you don't stop caring if you like them, that's fine, but they just don't drive you anymore. They are not your masters. So as we talk about this 2008 of being transformed as I get to know my Heavenly Father, we think about these fruits of the Spirit. And we think about God moving in our hearts first, being transformed, not just changed, being transformed. And I want to challenge you, and I want you to hear this, and I really want to encourage you to take this challenge on. I'm going to give you three areas, and I'd like for you to pick one of those areas. Now, you know, when Jesus finished his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, In chapter 7, the very last thing he said is, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I want to ask you to take one of these three and let it be the rock that you put into your foundation. Let it be the first block that you put into your foundation for 2008. Just one. Because if you try to take two or three and you're ambitious, chances are you'll compromise. But the three areas are trust, gratitude, and no judgment. Trust, gratitude, and no judgment. Sure, there's plenty of other areas, but I believe those three have the power to start transforming us. Trust, gratitude, and no judgment. You'll know pretty quickly when you think about those three where your greatest area of weakness is. I'll tell you, trust is not a problem for me right now. Gratitude is certainly not a problem. I appreciate what God has done in my life. I cannot stop expressing my gratitude for what He has done in me and in my life. Judgment is my problem. And let me give you a quick example. I decided after I was reading in Matthew, at the beginning of the year, just going through the Sermon on the Mount, which I love to do, that judgment was a huge problem for me, and I knew that, but it just pierced my heart, and I said, I'm going to do better. I'm going to change this in 2008. And so I decided I will judge less. That'll be my new thing. That afternoon, I go to the Life Center where I work out, and it's January, and it's packed because everybody's made these New Year's resolutions, and I can't find a parking place. I finally see one opening up right at the very beginning, right at the front of the building. And I said, great, I'll just wait on this guy to pull out. I saw him go in. He cranks the car up, turns his lights on, and it must have been 15 minutes later. Now, truthfully, it was probably a minute later or maybe a minute and a half, but it felt like forever, and the guy is still not pulled out of that space. And I've got people backing up behind me, and I'm thinking, what a knucklehead. This guy doesn't have a clue how to drive. If he would just back up the car, I could pull in. And then I realized, look, you're judging this guy. You haven't even made it through that. I couldn't do change for one afternoon. I couldn't do less judgment in one afternoon. I failed right off the bat. And I realized I got to back up and start asking you, Heavenly Father, to change my heart, transform me so I can judge less. Yes, I have my role to play. I've got to catch myself when I start, but He's got to.